Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the podcast in which I, David Baddiel, talk to Tim Hinks. Hello, Tim.
Hello, David. This is an interesting intro.
Yeah, the reason I've gone for this intro is that regular listeners will know that before the summer, we talked about changing this podcast so that it's not just about David Bowie anymore. Never was just about David Bowie, but that it's not even branded anymore with David Bowie.
This is a bold move, isn't it?
It is a bold move.
I know what's coming, and I'm feeling quite excited.
I feel sort of strangely nervous.
I noticed that. You're taking a bit of time here.
Well,
that's okay.
Partly because I think I feel bad towards David, God rest his soul. Anyone listening who might be members of his family, and just generally fans of David Bowie. There was quite a big reaction to me saying on Twitter, I mean big, what I mean is small, saying on Twitter that we might not be talking about David Bowie anymore. SM Witz says, "For me, a huge highlight of the show are the semi-regular Bowie discussions, even if they're only there to jumpstart your conversation. So no matter how you rebrand the podcast, please do continue bringing him up every now and then." Well, I think we will
That's
do that.
That's good, sensible advice. I'm very happy with that.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll do that.
That doesn't sound like a crying fan. That sounds like someone who's thinking clearly.
Meanwhile, Bint at Tramplord says, "I like the Bowie theme. It makes the podcast hang together, like the presence of the street in Coronation Street or the presence of Cowley in The Professionals." Which one was Cowley? Was that Gordon Jackson?
It's a good point, actually. I think it was Gordon Jackson, yeah.
"Certainly Dorky Time for the Moon Boys gathers together," says Simon Giddings, "all those Bowie fans who are simultaneously in awe of his talent and also embarrassed by his naff bits. Please keep it Bowie in essence, even if it's not about Bowie." Yes, it's nice. Andy McAfee agrees. "It's nice to hear a Bowie podcast where it's not all about how great he is, even if I do disagree with David's opinion on 90s and 2000s Bowie." Which presumably says it's not.
I think these are all pointing in the right direction. These are all saying,
"My favourite podcast. I wish it was longer."
Keep the essence of
Matt
Bowie.
Weber says, "Shock news followed by the most Bowie-centric episode in ages."
Yeah, that was true.
"Yesterday's selection was very funny." God, it seems years ago. Well, yesterday, it feels very much yesterday.
Yeah.
"But if you're going to abandon the comedian of pop, why not focus on the king of pop instead?" I think he means Michael Jackson. What could possibly go wrong?
Right.
Steve Bowerman says, "The more Bowie, the better as far as I'm concerned." Jay says, "I'll still listen to what I can only imagine will be called the Shit and Sugar podcast."
Yeah, that's good. Well, again, that's a pointing to the direction that we haven't been very Bowie-centric for a long time.
Oh, God. Gareth Murphy says, "Please don't rebrand.
Oh, God.
And don't deny us the exquisite pleasure of hearing Baddiel belatedly realise there's been no Bowie chat for 37.4 minutes as he desperately tries to segue genital and non-tangential conversations back to the great man before thank you for goodbye." Wilson says, "We barely scratched the surface. I need my..." I mean, this is a lot of people.
I think
it will lose its identity as a Bowie podcast if it becomes. And hold on to your hats, listeners. This is what we're thinking of calling it: Baddiel's Bollocks.
I like that.
Yeah, I tell you, even as I say it, even though I quite like it, and it's very kind of you to like it, even though your name isn't in it.
No,
which a lot of listeners will instantly think. Well,
no, but I think it helps.
Surely this podcast is all about Tim Hinks.
It helps balance the fact that I'm the funny one.
Yeah,
and
I'm
the clever one,
and I'm the famous one.
And you're the famous one.
Yeah. That's true. But as I said it, and we have talked about that being the title, the sheer crassness and laddishness of Baddiel's Bollocks compared to Stalking Time for the Moon Boys,
right,
which, of course, is an evocative, magical lyric from the Beaulieu Brothers, suddenly struck me as terribly sad.
I can feel you are getting quite sad. I think, look, the way I look at it, I know you star in TV shows, and you know, but having made TV shows over 25 years, is you sometimes, like Bowie, have to move on. You have to say, right, we did a very, we loved doing 2 years of Bowie. It was 2 years, maybe even two and a half.
Has it been 2.5 years?
Yeah. Do you remember when we started, there was that podcast called The A to Z of Bowie?
Yeah, I think that's still, isn't that still going?
Well, I think they definitely must have got to Z.
They got to Z.
By the way, what do you think they did for Z?
No idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've got long gone, as far as I know. And when
so
we
we've
started,
outlasted other
yeah,
Bowie
well, when
podcasts.
We started, we got worried thinking, oh, God, there's another Bowie podcast right at the same time.
Yeah, well, the way we dealt with that was by not talking about David Bowie.
True.
Yeah.
Or the alphabet.
Yeah.
But we've been going for quite a long time doing this, and this will always be there.
They'll always
like
be there.
The spiders will...
It's interesting, though. I see a part of you now, because the romantic part of me is like, yeah, but... You know, we became friendly, really, talking about David Bowie. We've now done this podcast.
Mm.
7 people really like it. You know, it's become our thing. And part of the joke is, well, we hardly ever talk about David Bowie, but it still hangs together like the street in Coronation Street and all that. But you, I'm seeing the hard-hearted TV executive part of you now, which is saying, yeah, that was all great, but is it bringing in the big bucks? No, it isn't.
Whereas it's definitely not that.
Whereas Patil's bollocks. Definitely will, is what you seem to be saying.
I don't know if I'm saying it will definitely bring in the bucks.
I'm not saying that either.
I can't
promise you that the Badil's bollocks will either.
No, but it might free us up to... It might be our style counsel to the Jam.
I think part of the issue is... That doesn't help, because I prefer the Jam.
Oh, but well, OK, I prefer the Jam, but I think style counsel...
Might be the Wings to our Beatles.
Might be the... Yeah, wing the band the Beatles.
Yeah, could have been.
Could have been.
Yeah. I mean, one
Bowie's
guy...
Bollocks.
Yeah. Says nice final send off. Great last line too. I don't know what it was.
Thank you for goodbye.
Can I suggest you keep it music focused? I can see the huge round final split where David claims the Beatles are overrated, and Tim discusses why Genesis were better when Phil took over the vocals. Debs McLaughlin says I'd listen to you two talk about the weather, which we did. Sort of whatever.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
We talked about
that. I'd be happy to. Yeah.
Okay, we're thinking about calling it, but Deal's bollocks.
Yeah. Which to me is you know you're very famous. That's going to be helpful to get it out there and get a bit of attention. But also it's true to what we're trying to do, which is just talk about what occurs to us.
Yes.
Bowie's going to occur to us quite a lot. I talk about Bowie at least 3 times a day, just to whoever I'm with.
And it keeps the B element.
Now you're grasping at straws.
Grasping at straws.
How many letters does it have in common with Bowie?
One.
It's got...
Yeah.
It's got an O.
Yeah. Badil's bollocks.
It's got an E.
But if it was Badil's Bowie bollocks, that would sort of be what the podcast had been.
Yeah, exactly.
So now we're just taking one word out of that. So
that's all it is. It was not possible.
I mean, what we have to talk about is the photo as well, because the photo is me and you with a lightning stripe, and we are thinking...
Photo of your bollocks.
Well, we can't have that. You see, part of the problem with it calling it Badil's bollocks is it's a bit viz, and it might feel a bit 90s.
Right.
And what we don't want, I think, is a graphic picture of my bollocks, or perhaps a pair of tentacles with glasses on. Well, actually, that slightly seems quite funny now.
I don't want to see that.
A Viz-like picture of testicles, quite hairy, with a pair of some pair of glasses.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to see that.
Some kind of nose.
Oh, maybe now I do.
But we were thinking of just the same picture, which is me and you with no tops on, and just no lightning stripe. Right.
Yeah, but I think if we're going to retake a photo, we don't need to be doing the same thing. We can be.
But to provide a bit of continuity, perhaps.
Oh, I see what you mean.
So it's me and you. Exactly the same, with you sort of looking
at me.
But
it could be us, say...
Looking at me a side eye,
right.
but with no lightning stripe. And you're bald,
yeah,
and I'm hairy, it might look a bit like bollocks.
Okay. I mean
yeah, not quite. Really, I think we'd have to both be...
Yeah.
I'll tell you what would suit best, is if we were both bald for bollocks, but with quite a lot of hair at the back of our heads sticking up.
And then
between us, a big penis.
I don't think we necessarily want to. I think it could just be the two of us.
I'm sure there's someone you work with who could do it for the big penis.
So we've rebranded the podcast.
I mean, basically, I'm going with Tim because even though, you know, it's called Badil's Bollocks and, you know, it's meant to be like I'm driving this podcast at some level, he's the one who I feel knows about, you know, what the people want because he, like, did Big Brother.
But I think... Yeah, but I also did Help My Dog Is As Fat As Me. No, that didn't rate.
Why did that have help in it? Couldn't that just have been called My Dog Is As Fat As Me?
Well, that implies a
Did you have
neutral...
a meeting? where you discuss the title of that, like we're discussing Badil's bollocks.
Definitely.
Just to explain for anyone who doesn't know, Tim, I know but some people forget because they just think he's the funny bloke I speak to. Tim is quite an important television executive. He used to run a company called Endemol, who did make Big Brother, and they also apparently, I never watched it, made a programme, he has mentioned it before, called Help, My Dog Is As Fat As Me.
Yeah.
So did you sit down and talk about the title?
Yeah, I mean, that was actually... So the idea was, you know, a weight loss show... And there was some research which showed that...
It was a weight loss show. It wasn't an animal show.
No, well...
I wouldn't know that. I would have thought this was a show about fat animals.
Well, it kind of... Well, it was, but what this research showed is that owners who eat a lot,
yeah,
or who are fat, shouldn't judge, but they definitely eat a lot.
Definitely. But ordinary food, also, not dog food.
No, but they overfeed their animals.
Oh, really?
So often you have a fat owner and a fat dog, for example.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was this research.
I'm saying my cats are quite fat. What does that say about me?
I mean, I'll let you jump to whatever conclusion you want.
I don't jump. So, I find that quite difficult for some reason.
I'll let you loll over to the conclusion. And so we thought it'd be really interesting to do a show where you and your pet lost weight at the same time. And that could feel quite warm and quite, you know, and quite supportive.
When you say interesting, you mean,
well, I mean
on Channel 5?
On BBC Three.
Oh, BBC Three, right.
And the point about the title is at that period of time... As if you remember, because there was a select committee that mentioned it at a certain point, which is that that BBC Three once was in this phase of doing these very grabby titles, like I'm a sort of hairy woman. Do you remember there was one called...
I'm interested...
I've eaten my own bollocks.
While we're talking about titles, I find myself slightly depressed, although we're going with Badil's bollocks possibly, but the fact that titles now, and television titles are sort of the worst of it, really, tend to be incredibly, like, say what it is, say what it says on the tin. Like, it's like, you know, in the old days, titles could be quite mystical and evocative, and who knows why they were called this sort of thing.
I don't know whether
And even those dramas, I mean, they're apparently very good, but dramas, like important dramas that win awards, are called things like Killed by My Boyfriend. And I think, like, I'm sure that's a good drama.
Well, that's an interesting
example. But I think, like, that's so literal.
It's an amazing drama, but I know exactly what I mean. There's two reasons for that, both linked. One is that they're often aimed at young people.
Right, young people don't understand.
And there's a feeling
if you call your book Ulysses rather than a bloke walks around Dublin, right, they won't understand.
Is that what it's about?
Yeah.
Fucking never worked it out.
Yeah.
And so there's a feeling, rightly or wrongly, that you want to be a bit more clear about what you're offering.
Right.
Black Mirror.
Yeah. No, Black Mirror is a brilliant title.
It's a brilliant title, but it also tells you... Right.
Well, it sort of does once you understand it's about technology.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's a really brilliant title.
I remember a conversation about Changing Rooms... Remember that show?
DIY show.
It's huge, right?
Yeah. With Lawrence
Llewellyn Bowen, Carol Smiley, Handy Andy, all that lot.
Handy Andy.
Do you remember that?
I don't remember him, no.
Yeah.
I thought you said Andy. I thought, he had two names that were both Andy. And then I realised you said Handy.
That was when it went to an extreme. He just repeated his name, so young people understood he was called Handy.
Yeah.
There was a conversation about it became Changing Rooms, which was a very big hit for 3, 4, 5 years.
And
the
BBC
at one point, they said it sounds a bit like it might be a sports show.
About swimming pools.
Yeah, exactly.
They were worried about that.
They were worried.
Well, after it started, or?
During the conversation.
Right.
Really, during the development of it.
But that's the thing. That's the point, is that normally a title like Badil's Bollocks means two things. Like Badil's Bollocks means
I see what you mean.
That I'm rubbish, and that's a bit of self-deprecation. Mm. It may also mean that I'm talking bollocks like I do on this podcast. I just talk about the first thing that comes into my head, and so do you. So therefore, it's got a double meaning.
Mm.
But for someone to say, if you had said to me, oh, I don't think that's very good because I think it suggests that you're shit, I would say, no, that's partly the point.
Yes. Right?
That's the point about Changing Rooms. So no, it is an extant word, extant phrase, BBC. That's the point. It also means changing a house from one room to another, to a different type
of room. The first show I ever worked on was called... Food and Drink.
Yes.
That is
unbelievable, isn't it?
That is about sailing, as you know.
But don't you find that a bit flattening and depressing?
Well, at the time...
When you hear that... I mean,
the honest truth is I thought, fucking hell, amazing, I've got a job in telly. This is the most exciting thing ever. So I didn't think like that.
Yeah.
It did... I was very...
What were you on Food and Drink?
I was a researcher.
Right, so you didn't
and then
actually,
I became producer.
Like, lay the table.
I didn't lay the table.
I don't think I ever watched Food and Drink. I just imagine it's people at a table and eating.
No, it was like a magazine show. It was in a studio.
Was it before
Gilly Goulden? Do you remember the wine taster and Oz Clark
and
all sort of slightly sort of brilliant mad
yeah
sort of wine taster? But
it wasn't like cookery show.
Yeah, it was cooker. It was recipes. It was wine tasting. It was films about.
Was it the first one that started the big? It was one of the first cooking.
Yeah. Well, chefs like Marco Pierre White went on it. Anthony Oral Thompson, Gordon Ramsay, they all were on it at certain points. So it was.
And it was called Food and Drink.
It's called Food and Drink.
So who came up with that?
That's a good point. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know, but it definitely.
The point I'm making is, when did titles become literal?
Yeah, well, that was 1989.
Right? Oh, was it?
Oh.
Okay. So you did Help My Dogs.
And it was on Vic Reeves and Big. They did a pastiche of it. Right. On,
oh, what, like MasterChef? Like a MasterChef pastiche with.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Which Moenna is famously in.
Of course.
Yeah.
And they called it, which always tickled me, they called the show The Food and the Drink, which I love.
That is so brilliant.
Which somehow is.
Yeah, but what is so brilliant about that, it's very Reeves and Mortimer, is it somehow brings out something that's ridiculous about the show being called Food and Drink.
It does. It's so good. Welcome to The Food and the Drink.
So just to prove how complicated and how life can just be like, contradictory and weird, and that's the great thing about it. We're now going to talk about David Bowie.
Yeah,
because
you love him.
You want to play me a David Bowie song, which I think I know anyway.
It's basically these rare recordings when he was rehearsing.
I mean, When I'm Five is on like a Derham album, but you want this.
I don't think
this,
it is.
It is. Here it is.
When I'm five, I will wash my face and hands all by myself. When I'm five, I will chew and spit tobacco like my grandfather Jones.
So, I listened to that this morning. I haven't heard that.
Is that the version?
No, it's not. But I'm
pretty sure it's an actual recording.
Yeah, I haven't heard it before. I don't think it's on the World of David. Okay, and it struck me. I was listening to it this morning. I think that's absolutely beautiful. But I know it's also sort of laughable. And I don't know where I stand. Where do you stand on that? I find that incredibly touching.
Well,
but it's awful as well, isn't it?
I think it's part of what Bowie was doing. I think it's part of what Bowie was doing round about then, which involved this weird cross between novelty songs, which you've talked about, like Laughing Gnome and other things like it, and then a sort of odd childlikeness, which I think he got from Syd Barrett.
Yeah.
I think...
But does it affect
you, when
you
listen to Syd Barrett, you know, See Emily Play, and also a lot of the songs on the first Pink Floyd album. They're sort of nursery rhyme songs, and psychedelia had that. It had this weird thing that you could just say childish stuff.
Yeah. But do you find that moving, hearing that?
No, I don't find it that moving, because I think there's an archness to it.
Yes.
Like, also, what does he mean, when I'm five, I will chew tobacco?
No, well,
the idea is that it's a kid imagining being adult.
Yeah,
at five.
What do you do when you're an adult?
Yeah,
because I think it might move me, because my kids are growing as yours are.
I'll tell you what it slightly reminds me of, and it makes you feel a bit icky, is that moment in Save All Your Kisses for Me by Brotherhood of Man, where at the end of the song, the rather big bloke with a moustache reveals that the whole song has been sung to someone who is only three.
Even though you're only three.
Even though you're only three.
Yeah.
You know, and that's supposed to be really cute
yeah.
in 1981 or whenever it was.
No, it's in the 70s,
surely. It's in the 70s, yeah, 1975.
Yeah, yeah.
It's supposed to be really cute. And yeah. Isn't that nice? It's being sung to... And now you just think, and even though you don't quite think that about Bowie, because it's not as pedo.
No.
I still think like an adult sort of like pretending to be a child in that kind of self-conscious way
is
often a bit sort of embarrassing.
Which is why I'm surprised that that's not entirely the level I take it on, but I was quite moved by it this morning. Right. And I think it's partly because my kids are growing up, and so there's something about that thing where that notion of them, and I love that voice that he has back at that time.
I think evocations of childhood that are genuinely, like, for example, I chose on my Desert Island Discs, which I've referred to on this show a few times, but one of the songs I chose was Monochrome by the Sundays. Perhaps we can play a bit of that.
Mm.
I'll tell you why I specifically chose that bit. It's a really beautiful song, right? It's about the moon landings, but it's not just about the moon landings.
Right.
Let me just play you the last bit, okay, of Monochrome by the Sundays, which is from the album Static and Silence, right? So I'll play you the beginning bit, right? It's me
lovely.
And my sister, we crept in like shadows. It's about a child's understanding and memory of slipping down to watch the moon landings.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, and it ends with this line, and which I virtually can't hear without wanting to cry.
Oh, my God.
In the same way I think you're talking about when I'm five, but I think without the archness.
Okay.
Can you hear what Harriet Wheeler's saying?
I actually didn't hear what she's saying.
Okay, she sings, "To be excited by a long, late night."
Oh, wow.
It's just...
I see your move now.
I am so moved by it, because for me, that is complete... it's such a brilliant thing. It's written by Harriet Wheeler and Dave Gavin, who are friends of mine. But that idea of, like...
Yes.
They're not really evoking the moon landings. They're evoking a child having a sense that something really exciting is going on, and then the song finishes not with a sense of like Apollo 11 coming back to Earth, but the main thing was, also it's really brilliant grammatically, that it finishes with just "to be excited by a long late night," because then that's an adult knowing they'll never feel that again. Just because a long late night when you're an adult is generally just a bad thing.
Is that right? Yeah, well, if it's...
Well, to be excited...
No, I know.
But to be excited by the prospect of a long, late night is something you only feel as a child.
Yes. Tell you what I'm excited about is when we leave early... When you leave early for a holiday morning...
Yes.
Not from a holiday morning. When you get everyone up at sort of 5 in the morning.
Yes.
That's quite exciting still, isn't it?
Actually, there's a song by Carole King. It's called First Day of August, and that always makes you feel moved for the same kind of reason that you're talking about. Hang on, let's just play the first bit of it, right?
On the first day in August, I want to wake up by your side. After sleeping with you on the last night in July.
Okay, so it's fairly Canada-specific.
Yeah, it's extremely date-specific.
It's extremely Canada-specific. Which is quite funny in a way. You sort of look like, do you actually have this in your diary, Carol? But what I think it evokes is something which you do still feel as an adult, which is at the start of the summer.
Yes.
A sense of like, oh yeah, there's quite a lot of time before I have to like go back to my normal life.
And it's just first day in August rather than first day of August.
Yeah, that's the
thing. Is that an American thing?
I don't know.
Because I'm currently arranging a trip to LA, work trip.
Okay.
You'll be very familiar with it. And basically, it's going to be some point in October.
Right. Will it be the first day of October or the first day in October?
It will be the first day of October after I've slept with you on the last of September.
Of September.
Yeah, which I haven't told you yet, but that's what we're planning to do.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And there's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing with the people organising the trip.
Yeah.
And, of course, what is basically for me impossible to get my head around, even though I understand what's happening, is they're putting the month before the day. So they're going... So if I'm saying...
Americans.
Yeah, that's what... Yeah. So if I'm saying 28th of October... or 28th of the 10th, they're doing 10/28.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen with 20th of October. They know what you meant if you said the 20th of October. No, they wouldn't say, why aren't you saying October of the 28th?
I'm resolutely doing that. I'm saying I'm around on the 28th of October. They're coming back with, what about 30/10? And I'm right. Like, what the... I know what...
Yeah, because that sounds
sorry,
like...
Sorry, 10/30.
Oh, 10/30?
Yeah, they're doing month
first, 30/10, because if they said, what about 30/10? You'd say, I'll almost definitely be dead by then. That's like two centuries away.
I'm not so sure we can get into NBC's diary to pitch the show earlier than that. Yeah. They really don't like the sound of it. But I'm finding that hard. So I wonder if that thing she said in the first day in August is in America. Maybe that's what Americans say. I'd say first day of August.
Right. But do you get what I'm saying? Is that even though we're no longer at school,
yes,
when the summer holidays were a real proper thing, I still do get a certain... yearning for life always being the first day of August.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Although I think summer holiday, I actually find them quite discombobulating, going on holiday. I find that quite hard. I quite like coming back from holiday. You have to have had a holiday to do it.
Right.
But I quite enjoy that thing about... So I would like to sing a...
Well, holiday... you'd like to sing a song called...
About coming
the
back.
The last day of August.
The first day of September.
The first day of September. So I'd like to sleep in my own bed.
The first day...
And then go back to work.
First day by September, because I'm going to make them think, well, why is he saying by?
Yeah.
When we're back to work. Yeah, quite like that.
You quite like that.
Bit of routine, you know.
I don't know. As I get older, which I don't know if you know, I'm doing that.
No, I've seen you doing that. Yeah,
I am
going to do that too.
I started to think about, like, those people who, like, go and live in the Caribbean or whatever.
Right,
Mainly people like Bob Monkhouse. Yeah. I think they're mainly dead now, those people. But those people who used to do that, like, that's what they would do, is live in the Caribbean for most of the year.
Yeah, thinking, you think that's a nice idea?
I sometimes think it's a nice idea. I think it's partly because when you are on holiday, you basically spend the first couple of days, if you go on holiday for 2 weeks, you spend the first few days like slightly discombobulated, tired, things aren't quite right normally, you know, it's been like there's something wrong with the hire car, and then you settle into it, so everything's fine for about 3 days, and then you get a bit depressed because you've got to go home.
Yes, I agree with that.
So if it was longer than that, if I was like in the Caribbean for 6 months, like Bob Monkhouse,
But
I mean, I wouldn't like to be like Bob Monkhouse. Really,
no,
in any
he's
other
dead,
respect.
By the way.
And he, firstly, because he's dead, but that's what he used to do. And sort of, that's what people do, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think it would just be boring, wouldn't it? You can write and stuff like that, but I would find
it'd be boring. But I think what I would quite like is that sense of what will feel like, it won't actually be that, but sort of endless time.
Yes.
That's the point, is like, you know, of not thinking, oh, but now it's almost over.
I see what you mean,
Like, almost anything I'm doing. Like, I like massage, right?
Okay.
I really like massage, but I almost never get a massage without about 20 minutes in thinking, I'm really enjoying this, but it's about to end quite soon.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about a happy ending. I'm just talking about ending.
So you start to think, oh, what's the point? You know,
yeah,
like,
anything
really
I'm doing that I'm enjoying. I mean, this is very glass half empty.
Yeah, that is interesting.
If I'm enjoying, a small part of me will self-consciously start to think during
it's
the enjoyment, it's going to end quite soon, this thing I'm enjoying.
Right.
I think that about, like, food. Like some sushi's just arrived.
Right.
I'm almost thinking about it now. I mean, I'm mainly thinking, can't wait to eat the sushi. You know, can't wait for the podcast to be over so I can eat the sushi because I'm hungry.
But then
half, like, almost a third of the way through that sushi, I'm going to be thinking, oh, this is great, it'll be over soon.
But there's two books I'm not going to write, but I would write, or pamphlets.
Yeah, one of them should be called The Glass is Half Empty or Half Full,
three books,
depending
then.
On how thirsty you are.
Three books, then.
Yeah.
One would be about poppadoms being better than the main course.
Right.
But it's what you're saying.
Don't agree with that, but yes.
Well, but it's what you're saying, it's the promise.
The promise of
the main course.
Yes.
Is, you know, so it's all to come.
Yes.
And then when you've got it, yeah, it's fine, but you might only eat half of it
and feel a bit sick
and feel a bit full. Yeah,
overordered.
But you're eating it knowing this is as good as it's going to get, so that's hard. And the other one is about...
Is that a book, then?
It's a pamphlet. Quite a thin pamphlet.
What's it called? The poppadoms are the best part of the meal?
At the moment, working title.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one I'm a bit obsessed with is you know when you go to a parents' evening or something at a school and they might have a table with some sort of wine on it and sort of things and, you know, to keep everyone...
Nuts.
I think it's a ridiculous idea too, and nuts and stuff. Yeah, crisps, and you maybe pay a pound. That's not the point.
What
doesn't matter.
You pay a pound for a glass of shit wine.
The transactional ratio isn't the point. The point is there's wine, but it's really rubbish wine.
Yeah,
and it's probably room temperature.
Yes,
you know, but people still drink it.
Yeah,
and I think my general feeling about that is I forgot why are you just drinking.
Yeah.
What, you know, is that just literally a way of taking alcohol in, even though it's really unpleasant? Why not wait till you get home in about 45 minutes
yeah
and have something nice then?
Right.
But what I've concluded,
yeah,
or what I'm interested in is whether I'm wrong about that. Whether what those parents are doing is they're taking pleasure where they find it,
mm,
and that's a really good thing to do. And I'm just holding back. And actually, what I notice is I'm holding back, thinking I'll drink something nice when I get home.
So you don't, you never.
And often
have,
I don't even bother.
You don't have the warm shit wine.
I don't drink it. Sorry, that's my. I don't drink it because I think that would just be unpleasant.
I think something else is going on, actually, Tim.
Mm, right.
In those things. I mean, I don't drink anymore, but when I did, I would sometimes have that shit wine.
Mm.
And I think that what it often is an attempt by parents to make the event,
right,
convivial.
Yeah.
So rather than it being like a parents' evening or something which feels purely dry,
yes,
it's like no, we're having a bit of a get together. Yes. It's, you know, the school is a place that we go to and have fun. It isn't just a place we have to go to
because
we're parents. You know what I mean? I think they're saying with that table, with that depressing table, right, with the wine and the three bagels on it that someone's made and wrapped badly in cling film and it costs £2.50. I think they're saying it's a fun place to be,
but. I definitely get that, but I think maybe it's good to. I think that's what I'm saying in the pamphlet. Maybe it's good to drink the warm wine. Maybe delaying.
What that book is called.
That's what that book's
about. It's
good
to drink the warm wine.
It's. Take I think these are where you
what you're talking
it.
About. Both these books, aren't they? They're self-help books. I mean, really.
Maybe.
I think it's one self-help book, right? With two chapters in it called "The Poppadoms are the Best Part of the Meal" and "It's Good to Drink the Warm Wine." And you know what the book is called? "The Food and the Drink." That's what it's called. It's called "The Food and the Drink," a self-help book.
Exactly.
Oh, we should get out of that. Thank you very much, and tune in next week for another edition of Badil's Bollocks.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.